welcome to the Grow Your English podcast with English Language Tree. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Grow Your English podcast. My name is Tree, and I'm very happy today to be able to introduce you to my guest, Irina. Irina comes from Ukraine. She's been living in London for about 7 years, and I've been working with her for a few of those 7 years. I would describe Irina as an avid reader and a culture vulture, player of tennis, and all-round brilliant person. So welcome, Irina.
Oh, thank you so much, Tree, for such a great introduction.
You're very welcome. So today, Irina is going to give us her thoughts about a book. I'll let her introduce you to the book and to the novelist. We thought it would be nice today for people across the world to listen to a book review. So Irina, please take it away.
Yes. So I want to talk to you today about a book called To Paradise by Hanya Anagiharu. Hanya Anagiharu is more popular for a book called A Little Life. I think it became a bestseller in quite a lot of countries. And there is even a show in London, West End, based on this book. But today, as I said, I was going to talk about third book, I think, and it's called To Paradise. So if I were to describe this book in just a single word, that word would be elusive. But luckily, I have a little bit more time here, so I will be more wordy. So after I read the book, I also read quite a few reviews, and there are people who consider it the book deep and meaningful. And also there are those who consider each other shallow and offensive. So two polar opposites. And Hanya Anagiharu is actually fine with that. In one of the interviews, she said that she writes primarily for herself and she doesn't even read reviews. But yes, that is a brief introduction.
Maybe, who knows, she might listen to this review. She might not read reviews, but you might listen to this one. You never know.
She will definitely not read the transcript.
Good point.
Well, yes, back to the book. The book consists of three parts, each set in the same house on Washington Square, New York, each set a century apart. First part is a traditional marriage novel with a twist. New York there is a part of so-called free states, states that are different from the other part of the USA in that they're not religious at all, and same-sex marriages are normal there. One of the founding fathers of the free states tries to arrange a marriage for his oldest grandson to a decent older gentleman from California. However, the grandson meets another man, falls in love with him, and decides to try and build his own paradise elsewhere, trying to rely on his own skills and his own luck. In the second part of the book, we follow a love affair between a young paralegal who comes from a royal Hawaiian family and an older lawyer. The story takes place in the disease-stricken New York, and in addition to this already quite rich setting, the young paralegal also receives a letter from his long-estranged father, and we also get a glimpse into the life of a young prince who lost his purpose in life together with his throne when the monarchy in Hawaii was abolished. The third part is quite dystopian. We witness United States that are ravaged by viruses and severe climate changes. All the human rights are forfeited. in the interest of safety, or at least that's what the government tries to make people believe. And in this third part, the idea of paradise exists only for older people who actually have seen some other life, something simpler, where travels and reading books and having opinions are allowed. So simpler, like more open times. In all three parts, there is at least one David Bingham, at least one Charles Griffith, and at least one Edward Bishop. But other than that, there isn't really a continuation to the story. There are some common themes, though. In each part, the author explores the idea of the family, of mental health, and of course, paradise. The family in each of the parts is not necessarily follows the traditional model of the family, but it is rather a relationship between people from different generation, where an older people takes care of the younger person. And in every part, the protagonist struggles with some kind of mental issues, whether it is some form of melancholy or trying to find purpose in life, or something that is a result of being ill in childhood. The paradise is different in each part too. In the first one, the paradise is about getting control of one's own life and making choices. In the second part, it is more about the place. The paradise is this beautiful, beautiful beach where a person lives a simple life without the heavy weight of society's expectations on their shoulders. And in the third one, paradise is actually England, a place where people can still read books, travel, have opinions, have conversations, make choices. Mm-hmm. I guess the choice is also kind of a common theme in all the paradises. In the interview Hania Anagihara gave during Sydney's book festival, she admitted that she likes to make reader work, like think, draw their own conclusions, read between the lines, understand the context. And to be honest, I certainly felt like I worked to understand this book, maybe not hard enough. But still, I don't really like this feeling of not having closure, of not understanding what exactly the book was about. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't really want to inflict this feeling on anyone, so I don't have like 100% answer to the question whether I would recommend this book to anyone or I wouldn't. But all this doesn't mean that the book is not good or is not good enough. It just means that some part of it, some meaning of it, eluded me, and that's all.
So elusive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yes. Thank you, Irina, for that lovely detailed review. You mentioned towards the end there that Hania Yanagihara says she likes to kind of get her readers to do some of the work. And you perhaps didn't enjoy it as much as other novels that you might have read. What do you think would have made your work as a reader more worth it?
It is a very interesting question. I guess I would really, really want the answer to the question why all the protagonists are named Davids. Mm-hmm. Do I need to know any Hawaiian history to understand that? Do I need to know more about American history? So having an answer to this question really would help me to have this feeling of, you know, okay, I do understand something about that now, and it all makes better sense.
Mm-hmm. And do you think it's fair that she asks this of her readers?
It is a bit difficult to give an objective answer, I guess. She did mention that she is one of those readers who enjoy working on the book, who enjoy putting this work in. And she did say that she writes primarily for herself. So maybe from this point of view, it is fair because she is writing for the likes of herself, and she is writing a book that she would enjoy reading.
Well, exactly. And I think we've seen in an interview, haven't we, that she very much is a writer that goes through quite a... She describes the process as being quite difficult. So, you know, she's working through her own thought processes to bring this novel to fruition. And if she's writing for herself and she doesn't read reviews, then, you know, it's for us to take it as we can, as we do.
Yes, exactly. And she needs to kind of enjoy the end result, especially if the process is so difficult. So.
Yes, that's a much better way of putting it. What type of reader, then, do you think would absolutely love this book and perhaps find it less unresolved and less elusive?
First of all, I guess a reader who is more familiar with history, especially with Hawaiian history, I guess, because apparently first book was set in exactly the year the last monarch started her reign. And apparently there are a lot of details like that appear throughout the book. So a reader like that, for sure. And I guess a kind of reader who doesn't need answer to all their questions, maybe, you know, a little bit more open-minded, I guess.
Yeah, okay. And for you then, what aspect of the novel gave you the most joy?
I really like the first part because it started as a very slow generational saga, and so I was like, oh, I'm in for a long connected story. I will go through this with this family through generations and see what happened to them afterwards. So this anticipation really gave me the joy. And then I quite like the third part of it as well, because I like those like dystopian novels in general. But since I was already expecting some kind of closure, some kind of circling back, and I was going through the book page by page looking for this connection, I guess I enjoyed it a little bit less. So first part where I had the least expectations, I guess I enjoyed the most.
Okay, earlier on. And how long did it take you to read the book?
A couple of weeks. The book is quite long, to be honest, but it felt longer.
Do you think it would make a good book club book?
It would definitely spark some discussions, which is usually a good thing to do. I'm trying to imagine people in my book club reading this book, and I imagine some people would absolutely hate it.
Okay.
Some people would like it a lot.
So that spectrum that you talked about at the beginning of deep and meaningful to, what did you say, shallow and
offensive.
Yeah, so do you think your book club members would kind of spread out along that line of response?
I think so. I think so.
Yeah, okay. Do you run that book club, is that correct?
No, not this one. I started a book club at my job for professional books. I run that one. Okay. In this one, I'm just a regular member.
Okay. So you've got fiction, and then your work book club that you've started is for professional literature. Is that right?
Yes.
Great. So do you get a nice balance from being a member of both of those book clubs?
Definitely, because I usually feel quite guilty reading fiction and not investing my time in my professional development. Okay. Now at least I have to.
Which brings me actually to my question, which I ask all of my guests, which is, what's your top tip for growing your English, for developing?
So I think my top tip would be to try and not be self-conscious, not to overthink about how you sound to the people around you, to not stress over your mistakes too much, because that was certainly one of my mistakes when I started. I was absolutely mortified talking to people who, for whom English is first language.
But
I think trying to relax a little more. A little bit more, not stress and not be self-conscious, helps a lot.
That's really good advice. Yeah, I would second that. Thank you so much, Irina, for talking to us today about your book choice. It was a very enlightening review. I'm not sure if I'm going to go away and read that book, if I'm honest with you. I might read one of her earlier ones. But yeah, if anybody wants to find out more, the author's name is Hanya Yanagihara. The book was To Paradise. That just remains for me to say thanks again to Irina for coming on and talking so eloquently about the novel.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was a fun experience.
It was a fun experience.
And very enjoyable, yes.
Wonderful. And if anybody is inspired to come on and give me one of their book reviews, I would love to hear from you, so get in touch. Thank you very much, Irina. Thanks to everybody for listening, and goodbye.
Thank you, Tree. Goodbye.
If you enjoyed the Grow Your English podcast, come and find me on Instagram at ELTreeOnline.